All right, guys, good morning. Today's daf is Nun Vav, but we will start on the bottom of Nun Hey Amud Beis. So if you remember yesterday, so we ended off speaking about the sons of Eli. And the Gemara wanted to suggest that the sons of Eli did not go ahead and sin. And the fact that it says that they slept with the women was talking about the fact that they delayed karbanos, which caused women to be away from their husbands for that extra evening. So we left off with Gufa. It's 3, 6, 9, 10 lines up from the bottom, second to last word on the line. Gufa, Amarav Pinchas lo chaza. Rav said Pinchas, the son of Eli, did not go ahead and sin. Shneemar, v'achi ben achituv. Achi ikavod ben Pinchas ben Eli, kohen Hashem. So interestingly enough, what the Gemara is pointing out over here is that the Navi still speaks about the fact that Pinchas is the son of Eli, who's a kohen Hashem. Now, what does this mean for us? The Gemara says, Efshar, Chait Bal Yodo V'Akasim Yachso. Could it be that Pinchas sinned, and yet the Navi still calls him Ben Eli HaKohen? But Alokvar Ne'emar, the Pasuk already says in Malachi, Yachris Hashem Lo'ish, Asher Ya'asena Er, V'Oneh Me'ol Yaakov, U'magish Mincha La'ashem Tzvakos, Im Yisrael Hu, Lo Yihye Er Bechachamim, So the Gemara says like this. The Pasuk in Malachi says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will go ahead and cut off the person who will be an heir and an oneh in Ohel Yaakov and magish mincha la'ashem tzvakos and brings a mincha tashem. So what does that mean? So the Gemara darshens this to mean the following. That if a person does not perpetuate the ways of his father, then if he's Yisrael, he will not be a Talmud Chacham, Er Bechachamim. And if he's the son of a Kohen, he won't be one who brings forward the Mincha. Elalav Shmaminah Pinchas Lochata. So the Gemara is dashing over here from the fact that Pinchas was still called Ben Eli HaKohen, that he was still identified by his Kohanic roots, indicates that his Yichus was still intact, which indicates the fact that he in fact did not sin. Elohok Siv, aye, but what do we do with the fact that the Pasuk does say, Asher Yishkavun, the Pasuk says that they slept with the woman, which is plural. So the Gemara says, Yishkavain Ksiv, you could vocalize it as Yishkavain, which would only refer to one of the sons and not to Pinchas. Vahok Siv, Al Bonai, Kilotova Hashmua. Aye, but what about the fact that the Pasuk says, oh my sons, the news that I hear is not good, sons again, plural. Amram Nachar by Yitzchak, Bini Ksiv, you could vocalize it as Bini, my son. V'hok Siv Ma'avirim. Aye, but the Pasuk says, Ma'avirim, that ultimately again, you are causing the nation of God to transgress. Amrav Huna B'reid Rav Yoshua, Ma'avirim Ksiv. V'hok Siv B'nei Belial. So again, we're both saying, the common denominator is going on over here. The Gemara is just saying that each of the words that's said in the plural could be vocalized in the singular. I, but it says, V'alksib b'nei Belial, mitoch shahayil ala pinchas limchos l'chofni, v'lo micha ma'ala ala lakasav kilochata. So it says, at the end of the day, Pinchas was culpable, but for a different reason. That although Chofni was the one who actively sinned, because Pinchas had the ability to go ahead and rebuke him, and stop him from doing that, he did not do that, he is held responsible for not rebuking. Amra Shobar Nachmani, Amra B'yonasan. Kala omer b'nei Shmuel chatu, el eino ela toa. Whoever says that the sons of Shmuel sinned are making a mistake. Shene emar, because the Pasuk says, Vayi kizakin Shmuel, ubanav lo halchu bidrachav. So the Navi says that Shmuel got old, and his sons did not walk in his way. Bidrachav hu delo halchu. They did not walk in his way. Michta nami lo chatu. But remember, saying that you did not walk in the ways of Shmuel, your father, is still a far cry of what? Of saying that you sinned. So they didn't follow the father, but it doesn't mean that they sinned. Ela ma'ani mekayim bayitu achrei habotzah. Aye, so what does the pasuk mean when it says that literally they veered after? Botza is could either be bribery or theft, but it means inappropriate monetary gains. So what does it mean that they veered after inappropriate monetary gains? Shalom osa kema'ase aviyam. It means that they did not conduct themselves like their father. What does that mean? Interestingly enough, what Shmuel Hanavi used to do is, Shmuel was a traveling judge, and he would go ahead and he would leave his home in the beginning of the year, and he would spend an entire year going city to city in Eretz Yisrael to adjudicate the cases of the klal. Shne'emar v'halach midei shana v'shana v'sivev v'savav beisel v'hagilgal v'hamitzvah v'shafat es Yisrael. V'heim lo asukim, but his children did not do this. Rather, what did they do? Eli yashu ba'areihem. They set up shop. They set up shop. They established a, we'll call it the Beis Din Kavua, and whoever wanted them could have to come, would have to come to them. Now, why did they do this? Because ultimately, by setting up shop, by setting up a Beis Din, what they did is they increased the revenue stream for their attendants and their scribes. Because now, what do you have to do? Now, what you have to do is, right, you have to write hazmanas. Right, you have to write, we'll call it invitations to Beis Din. You need people to deliver those hazmanas. So they started a whole workforce. They started, now again, Rabbi said, why are the Gemara saying that they did this in order to increase their revenue stream, or as a result of the decisions they made? As a result of the decisions they made, they ultimately ended up generating more income. Either way, to a certain degree, it's irrelevant. What the Gemara is saying is, whereas their father acted in a much more selfless fashion, they were more concerned with their own convenience. Kitanoi. So in reality, it's machlokes tanoi. Vayitu acharei habatzah. When the Navi says that they veered after inappropriate financial gains, Rabbi Meir Omer, chalkam sha'alu b'fiyim. Rabbi Meir says, you know what it means? It means they asked for their portion explicitly. Now remember, the sons of Shmuel, like Shmuel, it's usually the way that it works, were Levim. Which means that they were entitled to certain tithes. So the Gemara says that what the sons of Shmuel did is they would go and they would explicitly ask the farmer to hand over their portion of the tithe. Now I will say, the one thing that a Kohen and Levi never does is you don't go ahead and explicitly ask the Yisrael for your portion. It's not right. It puts the Yisrael on the spot. Because remember, the Yisrael doesn't have to give it to you. The Yisrael has to give it to a Levi, to a Kohen, but that's his choice who he gives it to. So they displayed a certain amount of arrogance by going and asking for their Levitic portion. Obviously, and if the sons of Shmuel come and ask you for their portion, you're not going to say no. Even if you had in mind to give it to another Levi. Rabbi Huda says, Meloi hitilu al bali batin. This is actually very interesting. Now, the Yehuda says, what they used to do was, Rashi points this out, they would give merchandise to Balabatim to sell. Well, what would happen? They were businessmen. So they had merchandise to move. They would give it over to some of the Jews, to sell. Now, what would end up happening? When these same people would then come into Beis Din, because they had a legal dispute, obviously the sons of Shmuel would be partial to them, because these individuals went ahead and conducted business on their behalf. Rabbi Kiva says, Kupa Yisir Shal Meiser Natlu Bizroa. Rabbi Kiva said, no, literally, you know what happened? They took additional Meiser Rishon. Meiser Rishon that they were not entitled to, they took. Rabbi Yossi says, Mat Matanos Natlu Bizroa. It's actually very interesting. Rabbi Yossi says they took Matanos forcefully. Now, what does this mean? Look at Rashi. Rashi points out this can mean a couple of different things. It can mean Zroa Lechayim Vikev, Vavahim Lohayu Kohanim. It could mean that they took Kohanic portions, even though they themselves, of course, were not Kohanim, or Rashi's Lashon Acher, Matanos Liviya could go Meister, or it could mean that they took additional Meister that they were not entitled to. Okay. Amar of Shmuel. So we'll say, the point that Gemara is making over here is you see that it's in Achlok Estanoim, that some say that no, when the Torah actually says that, when the Navi actually says that they were Hochel Acher Ebetz, it means that they behaved in a financially inappropriate way. They did bad stuff. The other opinion says, no, it doesn't mean they did bad stuff. It means that they didn't live up to the paradigm, to the model of Shmuel. Specifically, that where Shmuel spent his year traveling the land to adjudicate the cases of the people, the sons of Shmuel set up shop and ultimately went ahead and made people come to them. And in doing so, generated additional income for the members of their Beis Din. Amar Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rav Yonasan. Kolo Omer David Chata, Eino Elatoa. So mostly now we get to a very interesting Gemara. Whoever says that David HaMelech made a mistake, sinned, is making a mistake. Look at Rashi, what is this referring to? David Chata, Bevat Sheva, Kodem Shekiblo Get. So essentially what the Gemara is saying over here is the following. Whoever says that David HaMelech committed an act of adultery with Bathsheba is making a mistake. So the Gemara says, Shine Emar, Vahi David L'chol Jerachov, Maskil, Vashemimu. Because the Pasuk says that David HaMelech was successful in all of his ways, and Hashem was with him. Efshar, Chet Ba, Liyodo, Ushchina imo. Could it be that David HaMelech would have committed such a grievous sin of adultery, and the Shechina would still be with him? Ela ma'ani mekayim. So what is the meaning of the pasuk then when it says, Madua bazisa es devar Hashem, la'asos hara? So then what does the pasuk say in Shmuel Beis? When the Navi says to David HaMelech, why have you bazisa, why have you degraded, why have you disparaged the word of God to do something negative? Shebikesh la'asos velo asa. What it means is that David HaMelech was on the verge of doing something negative, something heinous, but did not. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says over the following. Shebikesh. What does it mean that David HaMelech was going to do something terrible? Shebikesh lishkov ima kodem shekib lo get. David HaMelech was ready to sleep with Bathsheba before she received her get. Shehari baila sholeach lo min ha-melchama shim yamos lo tizakek liyibum. O shema yehareik. Ve'ein meyit alav v'tisagin ishto, o shema yeshavoy kidam. So we'll say what we're going to see later on. I'll tell you this over here. I'll tell you this over here now, so that it makes a little bit more sense as we're going forward. The way that David HaMelech, one of the things that David HaMelech instituted, and we'll see where he got it from, was that when soldiers went out to war, they gave their wives a get. They gave their wives a document of divorce. Now we'll see in Machlokas Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam exactly how this get worked. Did they actually divorce their wives before they went out to war, or was it a retroactive get? That in the event that I did not return from war, the get is chal retroactively from the moment that I gave it to you. Either way, what the Gemara says is that technically speaking, David HaMelech didn't commit an act of adultery. Again, the Gemara is saying on a technicality. I want to be clear. The Gemara is not saying what David HaMelech did was inappropriate. That's why Rashi is very quick to point out. The Gemara is just simply saying whoever said David HaMelech committed an act of adultery is factually incorrect. David HaMelech committed a sin. He did something wrong. But he did not commit an act of adultery. Be that retroactively or be that actually mitchila. But either way, the Gemara is saying is Bathsheba, at the time that David HaMelech had relations with her, was already a divorced woman. So the Gemara is just saying the following. But what the Gemara is pointing out is, David HaMelech was ready to have relations with her regardless, whether she was a married woman or a divorced woman. It just turns out that he had relations with a divorced woman. So the Gemara says, that's what it means over here when it says, Bikesh la'asos velo asa. He was prepared to do something wrong, but it turns out that circumstantially that was not the case. I'm sorry? That was the chait that he was prepared to do, but did not actually commit. I'm sorry? Correct. That's what the Gemara is saying. He was prepared. The Gemara is just pointing out what his mental state was. His mental state was that he was ready to do it, but at the end of the day, although he committed a sin, we'll see the sin he committed, this what he did with Bathsheba was not the heinous sin. So the Gemara says the following. Listen to this. Amarav Rebbe da Asim David. So the Gemara Rav says, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, who was a descendant of David, would ultimately always try to find ways to exonerate David HaMelech. Right? He was the Alter Zeda. So the Gemara says the following. Madua bazisa dvar Hashem la'asos hara. See, what Rabbi picks up on is the following, that the pasuk itself is strangely worded. Because the pasuk itself says, why have you disparaged, or why have you degraded the word of God, la'asos hara. We translate it as to do the bad thing. Rebbe Omer, Mishuna Ra'azumi Kol Ra'o Shevetorah. This Ra, is different than any other Ra mentioned in the Torah. When he says Torah, means Tanakh. Shekol Ra'os Shevetorah Ksiv Vahu Vayas. In every other time that it says Ra or Ra in Tanakh, it always uses the lashon of Vayas Hara. Vekan Ksiv La'asos. And here it uses a different lashon of la'asos. So therefore, Rabbi Darshind shebikesh la'asos, because really, this is Nasan HaNavi talking to David HaMelech. What Nasan HaNavi was saying was, David, I know shebikesh la'asos. I know what you were ready to do. It just turns out velo asa. I know what you were ready to do. It turns out that circumstantially, the circumstances didn't allow that. The circumstances changed the situation velo asa, and you did not commit the chait. So what did David HaMelech do with certainty? As Uriah Hachiti Kesa Becherev. But what you did do is, you ordered Uriah to be killed. Because remember again, David HaMelech sends a letter to Yoav. The Jewish people are at war. And he sends a letter to Yoav to put Uriah in the front lines. And essentially putting him in the front lines was a death sentence. Essentially, they were going to battle against a particular walled city. And the way it used to work at the start, in times of the Navis, that when you went to war with a walled city, the first line of soldiers were always heavy casualties, because right, they would throw stuff down, they would throw rocks down, they would throw burning fluids down. So the people who were in the front line always suffered the heaviest casualties. So David HaMelech sent a letter to Yoav to put Uriah HaHiti in the front line. So the Navi says to David, "You had Uriah killed, Shahayil Chaladono b'Sanhedrin v'lo Danto." Because if you had a problem with Uriah, and we'll discuss what the issue with Uriah was, you should have had him judged in the Sanhedrin, and instead you did not. You just administered what you felt was personal justice to him. Ves ishto lakachto l'cha, and you took his wife as your own. Interesting enough, what the Gemara Darshins is, likuchin yesh l'chaba. Now it's interesting, the wording that Nasan uses with David is, you have taken es ishto lakachto l'cha li'isha. You have taken his wife as a wife to you. Now, with the Gemara Darshins over here is the word lakach is very important, because lakach is also used biblically to go ahead and connote likuchin, kiddushin, which means that David, I'm not saying you're allowed to marry her. You're allowed to marry her. The marriage that you have with her is a legitimate marriage, but how you got to her is very illegitimate. The Amar of Shmuel, Barnachmani, Amar of Yonasan, Now the Gemara is going to explain why the marriage to Bathsheba ultimately was a legitimate marriage. So Amar of Shulbar Nachmani, Amar of Yonasan, Kalayotzi l'melchemes beis David, whoever went out to wage war for David HaMelech, Kosev get krisos le'ishto, would write a get for his wife. Shene Emar, now this is interesting, where did David HaMelech get this practice from? Shene Emar, ve'es aseres chariti acholav ha'ile, Tavi the Sarha Elef, Ves Achecha Tifko the Shalom, Ves Aruvosam. Arubasam. So interestingly enough, this is when David HaMelech was a child. When David HaMelech was much younger, his father told him to go ahead and take some supplies, take some cheese. Their brothers were at war. Take some cheese to your. This is actually in the episode with Goliath. This is the episode with Goliath. This is when David HaMelech was a young boy and they were being threatened by the Plishtim, by Goliath. So Yishai sends David to go ahead and bring some cheese to his brothers. And he says, Ve'es aruba sam tikach, and take their aruba. So the Gemara says, my aruba sam, what is that? Tani Rav Yosef, Dovarim ha-me'uravim beino leveino. It refers to those things that intertwine him to her. What Yishai was saying to David was, make sure that you bring back the gittin from your brothers. Make sure that your brothers send back the gittin to their wives before they go out to war. So this was not common practice. But David HaMelech saw that his father Yishai had urged his sons to give this get to their wives before they went out to battle in order to avoid any kind of aguna situation. David HaMelech, seeing that practice, understanding the wisdom of that practice, instituted that practice as just across-the-board legislation. Now, also, I just want to point out to you, what Rashi points out over here is the following. Take a look at Rashi. Get krisus, Rashi says, al tnai, shim yomos tehe migureshes me'achshav. Now, according to Rashi, the way this get worked was how? Was that it was a retroactive get. You can give a get al tnai. You give a get with a condition, because there's no such thing as a posthumous get. You can't give a get after you're dead, because then you're dead. Right? Meaning you can't create a mechanism that the get takes effect after your death. So if you want a get to take effect after you die, it has to be retroactive from the moment that you gave it. So according to Rashi, a man would go out to war, the get would be dated today, and were he not to come back from battle after a certain amount of time, in order to avoid any aguna situations, the wife would be retroactively divorced as of the date of the get. Tosis, however, argues, Rabbeinu Tam argues, and Rabbeinu Tam actually wants to suggest that what would happen is husbands would just divorce their wives when they left for battle. Rabbeinu Tam just points out they would do it very quietly. They would do it very quietly, so no one should really know about it. This way it's easier if they were to come back to remarry their wives. But according to Rabbeinu Tam, there was no retroactivity. Rather, they would just simply divorce their wives before they went out to battle. So either way, what the Gemara is positing here, and that's what the Gemara means when it says, Kala Omer David Chata Eino Elotoya, whoever says David HaMelech committed adultery is making a mistake. Because at the end of the day, yes, the Navi admonishes him for how this whole thing with Bathsheba went down. The Navi admonishes him for going ahead and having Uriah HaHiti killed. But the Gemara says, if you think that David HaMelech committed adultery, that's not true. It's factually not true. true. It might be mechanistically not true, and the Navi itself is still holding David HaMelech accountable for what he was willing to do and what he was ready to do, but at the end of the day, it wasn't an act of adultery. The perfect proof to that, of course, is that A, he remained married to her. That's number one. If it was a true act of adultery, a person is not permitted to remain married to a woman with whom he committed adultery. And number two, the product of that marriage, Shlomo HaMelech, was the one who was given the license by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to build the Beis HaMikdash. Those two things in and of themselves are the greatest divine seal of approval that the marriage was legitimate. Again, David HaMelech still taken to task for the circumstances that led to this, but Nevas the Gemara is saying over here is the marriage itself was a legitimate one. Va'osarakta becherev b'nei amo. You have killed Uri Achiti with the sword of b'nei amo. Ma'cherev b'nei amo iatane'en ashalav. Af Uri Achiti iatane'en ashalav. See, interestingly enough, according to this approach in the Gemara feels that Navi says that you killed Uriah with the sword of B'nai Amon, just like the sword of B'nai Amon you are not held responsible for, so to the death of Uriah Achit you are not held responsible for. Why not? Why was Uriah Achit deserving of death? My time, Mori B'malchus Haba. Because Uriah Achit was Mori B'malchus. Mori B'malchus means that he rebelled against the king. How did he rebel against the king? Do Amar Lei, V'Adoni Yoav, V'Avdei Adoni, Al Pnei Asad Echonim. When David HaMelech called Uriah home from the front and told him to go home, so Uriah refused, saying that my master Yoav is still on the field. Calling someone else my master in front of the king is in and of itself mori b'malchus, is in and of itself disparaging of the monarchy, which ultimately, and disparaging the monarchy, is cause for execution. So according to this Tana, the Gemara said that Uriah Achiti was deserving of death. The difference is that David HaMelech should not have done it the way that he did it by sending him out into the front to be killed. If he felt he was Mori B'malchus, he should have adjudicated appropriately in the Sanhedrin. Amarav, ki me'ayanto be b'David, lo mashkachos be bar midu'uriyot. So the Gemara says something amazing, that when you look at David HaMelech's life, the only wrong you will see he committed was the episode with Uriah. D'chsev, rak bedvar Uriah hachiti. Because the Navi itself says, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only displeased with David because of the episode of Uriah Achiti. As much as the episode of Uriah and Bathsheba was a tremendous stain on David's legacy, the Gemara just points out to acknowledge the fact that this was the only stain. Abayi Kshisha Rami Dirav Adirav. So Abayi the elder contrasts the two statements of Rav. Mi Amarav Hachi, did Rav really say this? Vaha Amarav Kibel David Lashon Hara. But Rav says different, in a different place that David HaMelech committed another sin. What was the other sin? That he accepted he was Mekabal Lashon Hara. What was the Kabbalah's Lashon Hara? So the Gemara says, Kasha, Enachinami, that's a good question. So what's this case? Gufa. Rav Amar Kibel David Lashon Hara. What does it mean that David accepted Lashon Hara? Dechsev, Vayomer lo HaMelech, Eifahu. Vayomer tziva al HaMelech, hinehu beis mochir ben Amiel, below Davar. So we'll say, this is when David HaMelech becomes king. One of the first things he does is he tries to find the remaining descendants of Shaul. Because what he wants to do is he wants to go ahead and honor them. David HaMelech has great respect. David HaMelech never wanted any harm to come to Shaul. It was Shaul who was bent on destroying David. So when he becomes king, he wants to find the descendants of Shaul to give them proper covet. So he asks Tziva. Tziva was one of the servants of Shaul. Are there any descendants? And Tziva says, yes, there's one more who's living in the hay house of Machir, the son of Amiel, below Davar. Below Davar. Now Rashi points out over here, below Davar, Eino Chacham B'Torah, V'humetzcho Moli Diber, V'chacham B'Torah. V'humatzo Moli Davar, V'chacham B'Torah. So interestingly enough, Tziva, the servant, maligned this last son. This last son is going to be a son by the name of Mephibosheth. So Tziva said to David about Mephibosheth that he's an Amoritz, he's ignorant. Melo Davar, right? Below Davar. He doesn't have any words of Torah in him. Uksiv, Vayishlach HaMelech Vayikachemi Beismacher Ben Amiel. Below Davar, Michdi, so the Gemara says, so David HaMelech originally went ahead and accepted the Lashon Hara of Tziva that this one last remaining son of Shaul was an Amoritz. So the Gemara says, Michti, Chazye de Shakra, but David HaMelech saw that Tziva was lying. Ki hadar alshin iluye mai taima kibla mine. But yet, even when Tziva maligned Mephibosheth again, David HaMelech was still Mekabalit. What was the second time that Tziva spoke Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth? Dechsev, Vayomer HaMelech al Tziva, Ayei ben Adonecha. So this is talking about when David HaMelech, after the revolt of Avshalom, when David had to flee Yerushalayim, so he comes back to Jerusalem after the revolt is done. And he says to Tziva, where is the son of your master? Where is Mephibosheth? Vayomer Tziva el HaMelech, hinehu yoshev Yerushalayim. It's interestingly enough, Tziva, so we'll say Mephibosheth did not flee Yerushalayim with David. So Tziva said, you see from here the fact that he did not flee with you, David, that's what? He's been sitting in Yerushalayim this whole time, because he sides with Avshalom. Umenolam dekibel mineh. And how do we know that David accepted this Lashon Hara? Dechsev, vayomer HaMelech, hinei lecha kol asher leMephibosheth. Vayomer Tziva, hishtachavisi emtzachin be'enei HaMelech. Because what David HaMelech subsequently did is he gave all of the property of Mephibosheth over to Tziva. So it's clear that David HaMelech accepted the Lashon Hara of Tziva about Mephibosheth. Ushmuel amr, lo kibel David Lashon Hara. Right? Rather, Shmuel said that David HaMelech was not in the Kabbalah Lashon Hara about Mephibosheth. Rather, what happened? Dvarim hanikarim chazabe. That David HaMelech saw with his own eyes that Mephibosheth was not really aligned with him. Dichsiv, o Mephibosheth ben Shaul yarlef ne'amelech, lo asa ragla v'lo asa sfamo, ve'es bigadav lo chibes. That when Mephibosheth came to greet the king, he did not put on his shoes. He didn't take a haircut, and he didn't arrange his clothing. This was a lack of kavod to the monarch. So David HaMelech did not have to question Mephibosheth's allegiance because of Tziva's slander. Rather, he saw with his own eyes that Mephibosheth was not machshid. He did not treat David's monarchy with kavod. Uksiv vahiki bayusham likras HaMelech vayomer laHaMelech lama lo halachta im Mephibosheth. So in fact, the Navi says that when David HaMelech came back to Yerushalayim after the revolt of Avshalom was crushed, he says to Mephibosheth, why didn't you come with me? Right? Why didn't you flee Yerushalayim with me? Vayomer Adoni HaMelech avdi rimani. And Mephibosheth says, my servant fooled me. Ki amar avdecha achshava achvisha li hachamor ve'erkav alecha ve'eleich el HaMelech ki piseach avdecha. Vayiragel ba'avdecha el Adoni HaMelech. Va'adoni HaMelech kimalach Elokim va'aseh atov ve'inecha. So Mephibosheth says to David, I was going to flee with you, and that when you were fleeing Yerushalayim, I told my servant to ready my donkey, because I can't do it myself because I am crippled, and my servant never did it. And because my servant never did it, I was stuck in Yerushalayim. But just know, king, that you are like a malach Elokim in my eyes, and do whatever is good with me in your eyes. Vayomer lo HaMelech, lama tidaber od dvarecha, amarti ato v'tziva techa al kues asodeh. So David HaMelech says, it's okay. Right? Meaning, you don't have to give me a whole explanation. I just asked you why, you explained it to me. And I've already said before that you and Tziva, you and the servant, should split all of the assets of the house of Shaul. Vayomer Mephibosheth al HaMelech, Mephibosheth said to the king, gam es hakol yikach. You know what the truth is? Give all the property to the servant Tziva. Acharei asher ba Adoni HaMelech b'shalom al beiso. So it sounds like Mephibosheth is saying, you know what? What's most important to me is that the king is back safely. I don't care about the property. You can give all of the property to Tziva. But the Gemara understands that there's another tone happening over here. Amar lo, ani amarti masai tava b'shalom. You know, king, you know, David HaMelech, I waited for you all of this time in Yerushalayim, wondering when you are going to come back in peace. Va'ata osalikach, and this is how you treat me. Meaning, I, a descendant of Shaul, am aligned with you, and I prayed for your safety. And now that you're back, this is how you treat me. You want to give the property to Tziva? You know what? Lo alecha yishli taromas. The truth is, I don't have any beef with you, David. I don't have any complaints against you. Ela ami shehevi acha b'shalom. But you know who I have complaints against? I have complaints against the Ribono Shel Olam, who brought you back in peace. Hainu d'chsev, this is what the pasuk means when it says, Ben Yehona's son, Meriv Baal. The son of Yehona's son was Meriv Baal, the one who fights with the master. V'chi Meriv Baal, Shmo was his name, Meriv Baal, his name was Mephibosheth. V'alo Mephibosheth Shmo, Ela mitoch sha'asa Meriva im Baalov, Yotzat Sabba. So, but since he went ahead and he literally had machlokes with his master, the master over here being a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Yotze Sabasko v'amra, heavenly voice came out and said, Natsa bar Natsa, quarreler, the son of quarreler. So what does that mean? That Mephibosheth was a Baal Machlokes and his father. Now the father over here, now Mephibosheth's father was Yonah's son. What it's really referring to is Shaul, right? The quarreler, the son of the quarreler. Kunatza hu da'amran. So the fact that Mephibosheth was a quarreler, that we just read about. He contended with David. Barnatza, what does he mean? He's the son of the quarreler. Dechsiv, Vayovo Shol El Ir Amalek, Vayorav Benachal. So the Navi says that Shol came to the city of Amalek, and Vayorav Benachal, he quarreled in the Nachal, in the riverbed. In the riverbed, or in the valley. Really means in the riverbed. Amar Rabbi Mani, Al Iske Nachal. That what does mean? Shaul quarreled about the matters of the Nachal. And I will say, Rashi points out there is something amazing. Remember that God commanded Shaul to destroy Amalek. And to destroy Amalek meant men, women, children, livestock. Decimate everything. Shaul came, and Shaul literally quarreled with the Nachal. Now what does it mean, Nachal? Rashi points out over here that Nachal is a reference to the Egla Arufa. Right? The Egla Arufa is the decapitated calf that they would decapitate in a Nachal, in a valley, in a dry valley. So when would they do Egla Arufa? When they would find a person murdered and they did not know who killed him. So Shaul said to himself, if there's so much that's done over the loss of one life, how could it be that I'm supposed to decimate this entire city of Amalek? Right? So he fought, but Kadosh Baruch Hu told him what to do. When Kadosh Baruch Hu tells you what to do, you do, and you don't ask questions. You follow the word of God. But Vayar Banachal, he fought with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he fought with the decree. So the Navi says to Mipiboshes, you are the Natsa Bar Natsa. You are the quarreler, the son of the quarreler. You're quarreling with God, and then God brought David HaMelech back in peace. And now what? And now you are the grandson of the quarreler of Shaul, who quarreled with God over the directive to kill Ata Amalek. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. B'sha'a sha'amar David l'mipiboshes. Ata v'tziva techalku es asada. So in the moment that David said to Mipiboshes, you and Tziva should split the field. Yotzetza baskol v'amra, a heavenly voice came out and said, Rechavam v'yiravam yechalku es hamalucha. Rechavam, who was the son of Shlomo, and Yeravam ben Nevat, they will also divide up the monarchy of Yisrael. That's when the monarchy split and became Malchus Yom, Malchus Yisrael. So also, according to this approach, what the Gemara is saying over here, as Rav is saying, is that David did an inappropriate thing by splitting up the property of Shaul between Mipiboshes and Tziva. Tziva was a slave, and he was not entitled to the property of Shaul. And by splitting the property of Shaul between Mipiboshes, the son of Shaul, and the servant of Shaul, he was disparaging the honor of Mipiboshes. And because he disparaged the honor of the descendant of the king, of the former king, therefore the punishment of that was that his monarchy was split in two. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, El Male Lo Kibel David Lashon Hara, Lo Nechlaka Malchus Beis David. If so, Rav says, if David HaMelech would not have accepted the Lashon Hara about Tziva, because remember, the whole reason he went ahead and he split the property between Tziva and Mipiboshes is because he accepted the Lashon Hara that Tziva said about Mipiboshes, then Mipiboshes was an Am Haaretz and not supportive of David. Had David not accepted that Lashon Hara, Lo Nechlaka Malchus Beis David, the kingdom of David would not have been split, V'lo Avdu Yisrael Avodah Zarah, and the Jewish people, because remember, as a result of the split, Avodah Zarah, idolatry became rampant in Malchus Yisrael. Velo galinu me'artzeinu, we would not have been exiled from our land. This is a pretty strong Gemara. So the Gemara places a lot of blame at the feet. So it's interesting how the Gemara does this, right? Then on one hand, the Gemara says that if you say that David HaMelech committed an act of adultery, you're mistaken. But yet, the blame that the Gemara does lay at the feet of David HaMelech for ultimately causing the rupture in the monarchy, which ultimately led to pervasive idolatry, which ultimately led to diaspora, that is David HaMelech's responsibility. Okay? Amr Shlomo Nachman, Amr Rabbi Yonasan. Kala Omer Shlomo Chata in El Toev. Whoever said the Shlomo HaMelech made a mistake. Now, in this case, what we're saying over here is actually referring to Avodah Zarah. Whoever says that Shlomo worshipped Avodah Zarah is making a mistake. Shne'emar, Velo Haya Levavo Shalim in Hashem Elokav, Kilevav David. Because the Navi says that Shlomo's heart was not complete with God like David's heart was. So the Gemara says, Kilevav David hu delohava, michtanami lochata. Yes, Shlomo was not like his father. That is true. It was not like his father, but that's a far cry from saying that he was a sinner. Ela ma'ani mekayim. So what does it mean when the pasuk says, Vayhi le'ez ziknas Shlomo? Nashav hitu levavo. But the pasuk does say that when Shlomo Melech got old, his wives swayed. In fact, I remember I will say, Shlomo Melech married many women, and many of them were still idolaters, and many of them, of course, were political and monarchical alliances. But at the end of the day, the Navi says that when Shlomo Melech got old, his wives swayed his heart. So what does that mean? Hahi kerabi nasan. To Rabbi Nassan Ramiksiv, Rabbi Nassan contrasts the two psukim. On one end it says, Vahila is ziknas Shlomo, Nashav hitu es levavo. On one hand, the pasuk says that in Shmuel's old age, his wives swayed his heart, which makes it sound like he worshipped idolatry. So the Gemara says, "V'haksiv kilavav David aviv." But yet it also says that his heart was like the heart of David his father. Excuse me, that his heart was not like the heart of David his father. Kilavav David aviv hu dolo hava michta nami lo chata. The Gemara says, "Hachi kamer." This is what it means to say, "Vahi le'is ziknas Shlomo v'nashav hitu es levavo." So the Gemara wants a direction like this, that in Shlomo's old age, his wives tried to get him to follow after other gods, and what? He did not. You have to add in the last phrase. They tried to sway him, but he was not swayed. I v'hoksiv as yivne Shlomo bama lichmosh shikutz moav. But the pasuk actually says that Shlomo Melech built an altar for Kemosh, who was one of the abominations, one of the idolatries of Moab. Shebikesh levnos v'lobana. What the Gemara means to say is, you know what? He was ready to build it, meaning he had in mind, he thought maybe he was going to build it, but he didn't actually do it. Meaning, unfortunately, he contemplated doing it, but he did not actually do it. Elameata, but if that's the case, when the pasuk says, as yivne Yoshua mizbeach la'Hashem, but yet then when the Navi says that Yoshua built a mizbeach for Hashem, are you also going to say that means Shebikes Livnos for Lobana? Are you going to say that means that he thought about building it but did not actually build it? So the Gemara says, Ella, Yibana. Rather, we know that when it says that Yoshua built the altar, it means that he literally built the altar. If that's the case, Hacha Nami Dibana. If that's the case, maybe it actually means that Shlomo built the altar for Kemosh for Avodah Zarah as well. Ella Kedisanya. Rather, it must be like this Braisa. Because what happens? Rabbi Yossi says, Ve'es habamos asher asa apnei Yerushalayim, asher mimin lahara mishcha, asher bana Shlomo melech Yisrael la'ashteros shikutz tzedonim. So now the Navi talks about the fact that Shlomo HaMelech built these bamos, not far from Haramishcha, that Shlomo HaMelech built for Ashteros Shikutz Tzedonim, for this Avodah Zarah. Efshar ba asa velo biaram, Yoshafat velo biaram, ad sheba Yoshia ubiaram. So what's the Gemara says like this. Now, if Shlomo HaMelech built these particular avodas, particular altars, could it be that subsequent righteous kings, like Yehoshaphat, like Asa, and like Yehoshaphat, didn't destroy these particular mizbechos, and that they remained in existence all the way until Yoshio came and destroyed them? V'halo kol avodah zarah shebe'eretz Yisrael, Asa v'Yehoshaphat b'irum. But we know that Asa and Yehoshaphat, two of the kings of Malchus Yehuda, went ahead and destroyed all of the avodah zarah that was to be found in their kingdom. Ela makish v'shorom l'achronim. Rather, it's coming to equate the latter kings with the earlier kings. Ma'achronim lo asu v'tala lahel neshevach. Just like the latter kings didn't actually do this, but they're given credit as if they did it. Meaning, what does the Rebbe say? When the Navi says that Yoshio went ahead and destroyed all of the Avodah Zarah, even the ones that Shlomo built, it doesn't literally mean that, because they were already destroyed before Yoshiyahu. So what does it mean? It gives Yoshio credit, because Yoshio launched on a campaign to go ahead and eradicate Avodah Zarah. Therefore, it even gives him credit for destroying things that what? That he himself did not actually destroy. Af Rishonim lo asu v'tala lahen lignai. So too, sometimes the Torah hangs certain blame around the necks of people who came earlier, even though what? Even though they did not actually commit the transgression. So too, the Navi makes it sound like Shlomo HaMelech built these altars of Avodah Zarah, but in fact, he did not. But nevertheless, because he did allow for certain Avodah Zarah to go on, the Navi faults him as if he built them themselves. V'haksiv ay, but it says, V'yas Shlomo HaRa be'enei Hashem. Ay, but it says that Shlomo did that which was negative in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ela mipnei shahaya lo limchos b'nasha v'lo micha, ma'ala ala v'akosov ki'ilu chata. But rather, says the Gemara, because Shlomo had the ability to stop what his wives were doing, but he did not, he is held responsible for the proliferation of Avodah Zarah as if he did it himself. Amar Rav Yehuda Shmuel, Noach lo lo'oso tzadik sheishamish ledavar acher, va'al yichtov ba v'ya'as hara b'enei Hashem. So Rav Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, there is nothing worse than being recorded for all history as saying that you did something that was negative in the eyes of God. it would have been better for Shlomo to be a shamus for Avodah Zarah, to chop up the wood, to light the candles, Rashi says. Better for him to actually have worshipped Avodah Zarah than to have said about him that he did which was negative. That's such a damning statement, the Gemara says. Amar Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, B'sha'a Shinasa Shlomo as Bas Paro. Listen to this. When Shlomo married Bas Paro, which was one of his strategic marriages, Hechnisa lo elef mine zemer. In the marriage, she brought in, she had during the wedding, 1,000 instruments. Va'amra lo, and she said to him, Kach osin la avodah zara plonis, v'kach osin la avodah zara plonis, v'lo michaba. And she taught, she showed Shlomo the way to worship all the different types of idolatry, and Shlomo HaMelech did not object that his wife was engaging in these practices. Listen to this. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, B'sha'a Shenasa Shlomo as Bas Paro. So as a result, Rav Yehuda named Shmuel, when Shlomo married Bas Paro, Yorad Gavriel v'na'atz kana b'yam. Gavriel the Malach came down and planted a reed in the sea. V'ala ba'sirton, V'ala nivna krach gadol shol romi. So when it was the moment that Shlomo HaMelech married Bas Paro and allowed for all of this Avodah Zarah to be introduced in Yerushalayim, Gavriel came down, planted a reed in the sea, and the sand and the sediment and all of the shmutz began to stick to the reed. What ended up happening? A landmass formed. And you know what this landmass became called? Was known as? This became known as Rome. That amazing, now remember, Rome, we know, it ultimately represents a destruction of the Jewish people, not the Jewish people, destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, exile. The moment that Shlomo allowed Avodah Zarah to be introduced in such a dramatic fashion in Yerushalayim was the beginning, was when the moment that the ultimate arch enemy of the Jewish people was formed as well. B'masni satana, ozayom shehichnis yiravam, shnei egle zov, echad bebeis alva, echad bedan, nivnet sarif echad, v'zei talyo shal yavan. The day that Yeravam ben Nevat put up two golden calves, one in Beit El and one in Dan, he did that to show the Jewish people you don't have to go to Yerushalayim to worship God. You can worship God right here with the golden calves. The day and introducing again a pervasive Avodah Zarah Malchus Yisrael. The day that he did that, the first hut was built in Italia Shal Yavin. I remember Rabosai, the Gemara calls that previous landmass Rome. But remember, before it was Rome, first it was Persia, then it was Persian Media, then it becomes Greece, then it becomes Rome. The point the Gemara is making is that the behaviors of Shlomo ultimately was what sparked the creation of these nations. That's what ultimately signaled the downfall of Jewish existence in Eretz Yisrael. So the landmass began its formation when Shlomo Melech allowed Bas Paro and all of her Avodah Zarah into the precincts of Yerushalayim, and the first home was built on this landmass on the day that Yerava ben Nevat allowed for the two golden calves to be built in his kingdom. Alright, so we'll stop over here. I think for